Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Let's read it again. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We've been dealing with the subject of prayer and what it means and what the Bible has to say about always praying. In Luke chapter number 18 and verse number 1, Jesus spake a parable unto his disciples, and here's what he said to them. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. You'd be amazed at the places in the Word of God that the word alway or always and prayer and praying are together. And as we looked at the subject of praying always, we started out basically giving our students some reasons or some purposes that should be in our heart and mind when we always pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray continually. Always be in a situation where if you need to get a hold of God, that you can do so. We have said that prayer is the communication of one's soul to God that reveals the desires and the burdens of the person that is in prayer. We said that it is offered in faith, sought through the will of God, petitioned in the name of Jesus with thanksgiving, and aided by the Holy Ghost. That definition within itself, amen, will travel all the way through the Word of God. When you meet men that are praying, or when you read verses that revolve around the subject of prayer, it is your soul revealing the desires and burdens that you carry to the God of heaven. You got to have faith. Prayer without faith is of no value. That's why it's so important that you have a living Savior. That's why it's so important that Jesus be seated at the right hand of the throne of God in heaven. You see, the Buddhists, they pray, but they have no faith. There's nothing to put faith in. Amen. The Islamic people, they pray, but they have no faith. They're just praying because religion tells them to pray. And the Mormons pray, but they have no faith in their prayer because there's nothing to put faith in. But the child of God prays, amen, and it's altogether a different story. Because you see, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And tonight, the Lord is very much alive, amen. He got up out of the grave, you see, on the third day. And he arose and seated himself at the right hand of the throne of God. And tonight, he's alive, amen. And I'm telling you, the timing may be a little off. And you may think that the Lord is delayed. But I'm telling you, God hears and he answers prayer. And I praise God for it tonight. Amen. Always pray. Always pray. We went to Ephesians chapter 6 and we said that you need to always pray because you have an enemy that is beyond you, an enemy that is more powerful than you are tonight. Paul said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance for all saints. And in that chapter of Ephesians 6, he deals with an enemy that we face and an armor that we must equip ourselves with if we're going to overcome the enemy. And so tonight you need to pray because you have a foe that is beyond you, a foe that is more powerful than you are, but he's not more powerful, amen, than the Savior that you're praying through, nor is he more powerful than the God that you're praying to, amen. Praise God, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, and so you can pray. And the need to pray revolves around the fact that you have a foe. Secondly, here's what we said in chapel, and we want to try to continue this thought tonight with the help of the Lord. You need to pray always because of the future. You need to pray always, unceasingly. You need to pray continually. You need to have yourself in a situation where you can pray because of the future. In Luke chapter 21 and verse 36, here's what the Bible said. I want you to keep your Bible open to Luke 21. I read that in verse 1 through 36 in chapel. I'm not going to do that tonight. But I want you to understand that Luke chapter 21, Jesus is dealing with the time of Jacob's trouble, the tribulation period. I believe that you can find the rapture in that chapter. And you can see what's going on in the end time. And a lot of it is Jewish. He deals primarily with the nation of Israel, the fig tree. There's much said in these verses about the temple being destroyed and so on and so forth. But he's talking to the disciples about what is going to happen in the future. And in verse 36 of Luke chapter 21, as he closes out what the Jews are going to go through and what the times of the Gentiles will represent, here's what he said: "Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." And so I believe tonight that in this text and according to this verse, that men need to pray always because of the future. Peter put it this way: "But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer." He said the end of all things is at hand. He's talking about the future. He's talking about the events that are out ahead of us. He says because of that, you need to be sober. Don't let anything else in this world intoxicate you. Don't let anything in the world manipulate the way you think or the direction that you're going with your life. And he said, watch, open up your eyes and pray. You see, the word future, just that word within itself, it carries a great deal of meaning. You see, tonight, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And if we would have said that things that have happened to this church in the last several years, if we were able to prophesy those things, you'd be amazed as to what people would have done in anticipation of what was going to take place. But you didn't know, did you? We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know the circumstances and situations that we may face tomorrow. But we know that if we'll pray and we'll keep our relationship right with God in prayer, that we can handle tomorrow. We may not be able to hold tomorrow, but we can handle tomorrow if we pray. Now, when you look at these verses, the Bible said that they're in the temple in verse 21, or in verse 1 of chapter 21, and they're watching people of means throw their money in the treasure chest. There's a widow that comes by that throws in two mites. And in verse 3, he said unto them, "Of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all." And they began to ignore that. It seemed like they just bypassed the widow's sacrifice and what she gave. And they say, "Isn't this a beautiful place, Lord? Look at this temple. Look at the columns. Look at the architect. Look at all the work. Isn't this place beautiful?" Jesus said in verse 5, "And as some spake of the temple, it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts," he said, "as for these things which ye, behold, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." He starts talking to them about the future, doesn't he? He talks to them about these stones being cast down, this temple being cast down. He talks to them in verse 8 about counterfeit. He talks to them about Christ that will come and rise up and claim themselves to be something when they're nothing. He says that in verse 8. Take heed that you be not deceived. He talks about counterfeit Christ and things of deception. He talks about conflict in verse 9. Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, commotions. He says, be not terrified. He talks about commotions and chaos. Verse 12 says, but before all these things, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons. He talks about cowards. In verse 16, and ye shall be betrayed by both by the parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. He talks about captivity in verse 24. He says there'll be some that'll fall by the edge of the sword, led away captive into all nations. Now we realize this is talking about the Jews. Some of this we understand has already been fulfilled in the past. He talks about how the world itself will be in a chaotic state. There shall be signs in verse 25 in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, the stress of nations with perplexity of the sea and the waves roaring. Seen some of that this week. Talks about corruption in verse 34. He says, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about the future. He's talking about tomorrow. And I don't know what you'll face tomorrow. I know that everything that is pinned out in Luke chapter 21 and in Matthew chapter 24, no matter where you put it, where you put it in the kingdom or the rapture, the revelation, the tribulation period, it doesn't make any difference where you put it at. The spirit of Antichrist exists in the world right now. And the things that we read about and the things that we discern from the Word of God, we know there's people faced with these things right now as we speak. Amen. There are people that have turned their back on the faith. There are people that claim to be something that they're not. There's conflict on every hand. Nations have risen up against each other, and there's war and commotion and chaos in our world tonight. Amen. There are people that are incarcerated because of the faith that you and I tonight are embracing. The Bible that we're reading, there are people that are hid away, amen, that are reading the Bible and praying together because of fear. We do it in liberty tonight. If you're not careful, you'll lose sight of what's going on in the world around us when it comes to trouble and problems and situations. And here's what he said. He said, take heed to yourselves. And he said in verse 36, watch ye therefore because of these things and pray always. Can you handle tomorrow? Can you? Can you handle what a cursed world can bring in your path tomorrow? Now, you need to understand something tonight. A lot of times, people have a real difficult time with God when trouble comes. But you need to understand that everything that goes on in this world that is of trouble, sickness, pain, death, disease, havoc, is a result of a cursed world. That God did not create cursed. Man brought the curse upon this earth. So everything negative that takes place in this world takes place because this world is cursed. And it's cursed because of sin. Not because of any sin God committed, because he's holy and pure. But sin because man rejected God and rebelled against the commandment of God. Now that small elementary principle, if that can be embedded in your heart and mind, you'll understand the need to pray always. And you will be able to handle tomorrow.
Amen.
Amen. You see, your future involves a lot of things tonight. Your future involves a purpose. Do you realize tonight that there is a will of God for your life right now? And you may not be in the complete, mature will of God for your life right now. In fact, some of you may be completely out of the will of God tonight. I don't know. You may have made choices that have put you in circumstances and in situations that has taken you completely out of the perfect will of God for your life. And there may be a situation in your life right now that's going to take some time for you to undo and get out of, to get back where you once were and fulfill the goals and ambitions that God has for your life. All that's in the future. I don't know what God may want me to do tomorrow, Brother Crabtree, but God has a divine purpose that he wants me to fulfill in my life and with my life tomorrow. Amen. I may wake up tomorrow and there may be something very, very detrimental and troublesome happen to me. I'm not looking for it. I'm not planning on having a wreck tomorrow and ending up in intensive care. I have no intentions of that taking place. But I don't know what tomorrow holds. I know that I have a purpose that God desires for me to fulfill in the will of God. Are you listening? And I'm telling you tonight, it is very needful that we have an attitude and a spirit and a disposition that is able to get a hold of God in prayer, because we don't know what tomorrow may come. But if you'll pray, he said, watch and pray therefore. He's talking to the Jews, but I believe it's very applicable to you and I tonight. I believe the principle is there tonight. And so tonight you have a purpose. There's a plan for your life. And you know, a lot of times we take things in our own hands. We try to determine what we think is best for our own life. And some of you have done that. I've done that myself. And I've made a blunder of things in my own life. I've let myself become a part of things that has been a detriment to me spiritually. I have allowed myself to get yoked up with things that has hindered me in my walk with God. And you better be very careful when you allow yourself to get yoked up with anything that is going to hinder you from being what God has laid out in this Bible for you to fulfill. Because see, God has a plan for your life. And God desires to fulfill that plan and see that you accomplish his will, amen, in your life. Praying will help you deal with those kind of divine fulfillments in the future. You see, the plan and purpose of God is an issue of faith. I realize that the will of God for people is different. I understand that tonight. But the will of God has never been convenient for my flesh. I had a preacher one time come to my office, and he wanted to start a church. He wanted to start a church in the town that him and his wife lived in. He wanted to start a church in the town that his wife's mama lived in. He wanted to start a church where he was in driving distance of a $70,000 salary job, so he wouldn't have to quit work. And he asked me, what do you think about it? I said, sounds way too convenient to be the will of God to me. And I'm not trying to be negative. I just always am. I don't have to try. Comes natural. It's almost like eating. Amen. I think maybe his brother Farmer or somebody told a preacher one time, they said, I feel like God wants me to do this. And he said, you think I ought to talk to your pastor about it? He said, if you talk to him, he'll let you know every negative thing there is to know about it. I'm just telling you, the will of God has never been that convenient for me. Amen. The will of God for my life has always contradicted my flesh. The will of God for my life has always, amen, involved me trusting the Lord. And I'm talking about believing that God would work and would move. And the impression on my spirit and in my heart to do the will of God was so strong, I was willing to follow Him even though the odds were against me in the flesh. That's why you need to pray. Because if you don't pray when God's plan, you see, it won't add up on paper. When I came to Kentucky, I had no place to live. I took about, I don't know, a $600 a week pay cut. That's a pretty good pay cut. I went to work in Louisville. I was doing good to bring home $160 a week driving to Louisville. Now, you'll drive to Louisville, but you won't drive to Louisville for that. I was doing good to bring home $160 a week. I was driving all the way to Churchill Downs and then driving all day long while I was there buying my own gas. I had a $500-something house payment in South Carolina to pay. And I had found a place to live here, and I had a $500-something a month house payment to pay here. So I had a $500-something house payment in South Carolina, $500-something house payment in Kentucky. I had to drive to Louisville every day to work. I was bringing home $160 a week. I had two children and a wife to feed, and then I like to eat every now and again myself. Now you add all that up and see if you can get that to cipher out without taking your shoes off and counting. Now, I'm going to tell you what, you couldn't figure it out on paper. But I'm going to tell you, God had it figured out. Because God gave me direction. And I'm not talking about being stupid and being foolish and doing things, amen, that are not practical. I just knew that that's what God wanted me to do. And I'm telling you, God miraculously worked that out to the glory of God. I didn't miss no bills, didn't ruin my credit. I paid my bills on time, and God miraculously, divinely took care of that because I was doing the will of God. But I'm going to tell you what, you're not going to follow that kind of faith unless you pray every now and again. You see, the future has a purpose for your life. The future has a plan for your life. The future has many problems for your life. And I didn't think about this until maybe last night when I went to bed or whenever it was. But I thought about Job. You see, Job didn't have a clue that he was fixing to lose everything in a moment of time. He didn't. Job didn't know his children were going to die that day. Job didn't know that all of his livestock was going to be destroyed and stolen and everything that happened. Job didn't have any idea. He woke up that morning, a very wealthy, happy man. And before the sun went down that day, everything was snatched away from him in a moment of time. And he never dreamed in 1,000 worlds that that was going to happen. But I'll tell you what Job had done. He had been with God. That's what he had been with. That's who he had been with. Amen. He had sacrificed for his children. He was a just man and upright. And God could say that about him because he said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? that there's none like him in all the earth. Have you noticed it ain't nobody like Job? Nobody's praying like Job. But Job had got along with God. Job had spent time with the Lord. Job had prayed. And when the world came in around him, he said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." That's why it's important, Andrew, to always pray. Because you see, the future is going to have problems for everybody in here.
Yeah, that's right.
I wish I could give you better news. There is better news. Amen. Jesus is coming. But in reference to this world, tomorrow has problems. That's just the curse of the world we live in. That's why each one of us should desire and thirst more each day to be in heaven with Jesus. Amen. And so tonight, I want you to understand that it's important to pray always because the future has many problems. You'll meet some people. I told these young people the other day, I said, "I'm sure you want to get married, have a family, have a life. I'm sure you do. Don't you?" But there are people in this building tonight. And there's people that's probably listening to this service tonight via the internet all across the country. And they met people in their life, and when they met them, they thought it was the greatest thing that ever happened to them. But right now, Brother Joe, it's not so great. There are husbands tonight who don't have a clue where their wife is. But when they met their wife and they were in love, I mean, Brother Bill, you didn't have a clue you'd be sitting here alone by yourself tonight after all these years when you walked the wedding aisle and made those vows to that woman. No, it was just a wonderful, happy time. Is everybody listening? Is anybody listening? I'm talking about the future tonight. And how important it is to always pray. Amen. When that little boy was brought into this world, you didn't think you'd be hurting like you are tonight.
No, that's right.
But that's the future.
Yep.
Amen. Brother David, when he's Bible quizzing and memorizing the Word of God, you didn't think there'd be a time that you'd sit here and he'd not be here tonight. That's the future. And I'm not trying to depress you tonight. I'm just trying to get you to understand reality is the future carries with it problems. There are mothers that are here tonight. When they got married, it was a happy and a wonderful time. And they're trying to carry the spiritual load of an entire family with no support at home. Why do I need to pray anyway? Why is it so important that I pray? Because of tomorrow. That's why it's important that you pray. You read Luke 21, Jesus said, there's a lot of things going to happen. All the splendor that you see in this temple, there's going to be a day when men are going to walk around here and all they're going to see is rubble. All they're going to see, you see beauty, they're going to see trash. You see glory, they're going to see nothing but rubble and filth because it'll be trodden down one day. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Many problems, many people. Amen. You're going to meet some folk. You think you're friends, and they're going to hurt you. Right here in the text, we're told that parents are going to betray their own children. Kindred and friends are going to betray each other. Right here in the text. And Jesus said, because of that, you better pray. Then there's promises, amen. Isn't that good? in the midst of the problems, in the midst of the circumstances that we have no answers for, that may come in our path on tomorrow. Thank God there's promises in this Bible. Amen. I don't want to miss one of them, do you? I want to pray and my heart be right with God so that the Word of God can be real in my life, that the power of this book can work in my soul. There's some things in this Bible that you can lay hold of tonight. Amen. There's some things you can build on. And this Bible says you'll never fail. Paul said there's some things you can do and you'll never be a castaway. There's some things that can be implemented in your life as a child of God. And you can stand. You can be faithful. You can live for God. You can be satisfied. Tomorrow may have a lot of problems, but don't forget tomorrow has promises. There's promises, amen. Jesus said in these verses, he said, when you see these things come to pass, he said, lift up your head, for you know that your redemption draweth nigh. He said, look up. He said, raise your head. Look up. The Lord's coming. Jesus is coming. The Son of God, amen, is coming back. I'm telling you what, when John penned down the book of Revelation and he saw the awesomeness of Jacob's trouble and all the pain and the affliction that'll be wrought in this world because men have rejected the Lord Jesus, he said this, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. There's promises. There's prosperity. Praise the Lord, you can have success. And I'll preach it, man. I'll tell you what, you get so many things running through your mind. I'm going to tell you something tonight. The world and everybody in it is predetermined to fail. They're going to fail. The Bible says they're going to fail. But the child of God, in the midst of problems and troubles, has been promised prosperity. And that may not be a pocket full of money. Hey, are you listening to me tonight? There's people in this building tonight that would give every dime they have to regain some things they've lost. Money don't mean anything when you're sitting at the deathbed of a loved one. Money doesn't mean a whole lot when homes are wrecked and lives are wrecked. Don't mean much then, does it? Amen. And I'm telling you tonight, the world is destined to fail. But God has predetermined that every child of God succeed. Amen. That's wonderful, isn't it? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. You can have joy and peace. Amen. You can have happiness and satisfaction and fulfillment. But you only have that as you walk with God. Always pray. Always pray. Here's what Jesus said to his disciples. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world give unto you. He says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I'm going to tell you what. Tomorrow may bring great anguish of soul, but nothing or no one can snatch away the peace of God in the heart of the believer that has settled his state with Jesus tonight. I've been burdened. Oh, yes. I carry burdens tonight. Burdens for people. I carry burdens for situations tonight even. Are you listening? But in the midst of those burdens, and along with those cares, I know that there's a peace settled deep in my happy soul today because I've spoke to him. I spoke to him just a while ago. I talked to the Lord. I bowed down that old plastic chair out there in the gym and called on the Lord. You know something? I believe he heard me. I held my wife's hand just a little while ago and bowed down and we prayed together. And I felt a nudge from heaven. I think the Lord was listening, you see. And so with that being said, I believe everything will be all right. You see, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow, the songwriter said. And if I can settle that reality that God holds tomorrow, I can handle tomorrow. Amen. You won't need the psychiatrist. You won't need all the things the world offers to try to give you peace of mind. God can give it to you. Jesus can settle the anguish of your heart. Always pray. He said you better watch and pray always. There's some things that's going to be difficult to deal with physically and fleshly in the future. But he said, if you pray always, he said, I can see you through them. There's a verse in that text that I don't have time to go back and read them all. I don't know if I can find it or not. If I can, I want to read it to you. If you'll just give me a second, I'll look. If I can't find it here pretty quick, we'll move on and be dismissed. It says in verse 20, 25, in verse 26, men's heart failing them for fear, looking after those things which are coming on the earth. Things on the earth trouble you. I mean, I'm not a fool. And I think we all have a desire to see rulers and men in authority in this land that have a sense of morality and a guide in righteousness. But I don't want to have my heart failing me because what's going on in this earth. I can't find the verse. But he talks about not letting your heart faint. Not letting your heart get disturbed. Not letting your heart get filled with anguish and filled with distress and filled with trouble in the midst of these difficult days. He said in verse 14, here it is, verse 14. He said, settle it, therefore, in your hearts. He said, not to meditate before what you shall answer. He's talking about what you're going to say when all these men take you. And that's not the verse I'm looking for, but the verse talks about, amen, having a settled peace in your soul when these things come to pass. Is it verse 4? 34. Amen. He said, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Make sure that you keep an eye on who you are, and a knee that's bowed with a heart that's praying toward the God of heaven. What are you going to do about tomorrow? How are you going to handle the difficulties of life? You listening? There's things we've faced. We've stood at hospitals. We've been through some things as a church together. I mean, we've had years of smooth sailing. I mean, you know, with a few ripples in the road here and there, you know, a little bit. But I'll tell you what, there's been trouble and anguish and hurt that's probably drawn this group of people closer together than anything else that could ever have drawn it. And I'm going to tell you what, people have dealt with it and not charged God foolishly. And in the midst of it, and walk with the Lord. For that to happen, you got to pray. You got to pray always. Trust Him tonight. There is a future. You have a future. We have a little career thing going on Friday night for some of our young people to try to put some people before them that's made plans for their life and gotten to a certain place and things have happened to bring them to that place so that they can know that, you know, you just can't let life go on without making plans and having dreams and goals and desires and trying to apply yourself to see things take place in your life. Some of you have a very Calvinistic view, a very fatalistic view about life. To be Baptistic in your doctrine. Well, we're just going to let things happen as they happen. Let God be in charge. God is in charge. But you have a will. And you have a responsibility. And you have the opportunity to pray, find direction, and have guidance given to you from the Lord. Pray always. Do you pray always? Are you in a position, listen to me, God forbid this would happen, but if you woke up tomorrow and you found yourself standing beside the bed of your little baby and the doctor has said, I don't know if they're going to make it. It doesn't look good. Could you pray? Could you get a hold of God? Could you lay a hold of the horns of the altar and get a hold of the King of Glory? Well, preacher, there's been situations that we've prayed about and the outcome wasn't good. Did God give you peace and strength to get you through it? Are you listening? Can you get a hold of Him? It's very important. It's very important that we understand the need to pray always. You have a foe, and you have a future.